This is KERA. I'm Sam Baker. In this edition of Vital Signs, heart failure. It doesn't mean your heart has stopped beating. Rather, the heart can't pump enough blood and oxygen to support other organs in your body. The CDC estimates half the people who develop heart failure die within 5 years of diagnosis. But before reaching that point, Dr. Justin Grodin, an advanced heart failure specialist with Texas Health Dallas and UT Southwestern Medical Center, says medical advances have made numerous options possible. What causes heart failure?
About half of the cases are caused by blockages in the blood vessels. So individuals that have cholesterol buildup leading to chronic blockages or those that have had heart attacks. Now the other half, some of it's genetic. Some of it can be related to hormone issues, toxins, viruses, bacterial infections affecting the heart valves, heart valvular abnormalities, arrhythmias.
But some of the other things you mentioned could be preventable?
Absolutely. For example, one great way to prevent heart failure is to eat healthy, watch the salt in our diet, make sure our blood pressure is under control. We know obesity is associated with an increased incidence of heart failure, as is diabetes.
Does family history factor into any of this at all?
Absolutely. Especially if there's a family history of some of those risk factors like diabetes, coronary artery disease. But family history is also important, especially if families have a genetic tendency to have heart failures. Individuals can actually have mutations in their genes that can cause a cardiomyopathy, or in other words, a condition affecting the heart muscle that can make the heart muscle too thick or can make the heart muscle dilated and weak.
Heart failure can't be cured, but it can be treated?
So it depends. There are certain causes where we would say that patients can have transient episodes of heart failure, especially if they've had heart failure related to a viral infection. Sometimes it can be cured, but as a heart failure specialist, I can tell you I've stolen a term from cancer, and I say that, you know, I tell my patients when their heart gets better that they're actually in remission, that they're not cured. And really the motivation behind this is to get them to continue to take their medications.
Okay.
Because if a patient that has heart failure improves, a lot of times it's those medications that has mediated those benefits. And then there are historical studies and then recent data that suggests that actually withdrawing some of those beneficial medications can adversely affect the heart and can put the patient back into heart failure.
So maybe the way to put this is not it can be treated, it can be managed?
It can absolutely be managed. And then a lot of times, patients with heart failure can actually have normal heart function with adequate medical therapy.
What kind of improvements have been made over the last few years?
So I would say that for the last 20 years, a lot of times, and the way that I explain this to my patients is that when a body has a weak heart, or a failing heart, specifically if they have a failing heart where the squeeze of the heart is abnormally low. Mm-hmm. We have therapies based on a lot of clinical trials that can improve prognosis. In other words, they can make patients live longer, feel better, and stay out of the hospital. But what these therapies do is they actually target the body's response to preserve bodily function in the setting of somebody that has a weak heart. So we've actually figured out over time that blocking these responses can actually improve outcomes. So, and I would say that recently, over the past 5 years, we've had two new medications that have come along the market. One of them is sacubitril valsartan.
Now, is there a simpler name for that drug?
You want me to talk brand names? So the name of the drug is Entresto, and another is ivabradine. And I really would like to focus on the first because this was the first medication that targets some of these adverse responses to a weak heart. Mm-hmm. And those are incrementally better to the pharmacotherapies that we were using in the early 2010s. It's one of the advances that we're continuing to make. And then every year, or not every year, but we have, you know, there are therapies that not only target heart failure with a reduced ejection fraction, but also experimental therapies that are targeting specific types of heart conditions that might cause heart failure that would then translate to better outcomes.
Implants and heart pumps are...
So in a minority of patients, they can actually have what's called advanced heart failure. This is heart failure that is no longer responsive to some of those other therapies that I talked about.
Okay.
Patients that might be in the hospital more than two times a year with their heart failure, and where it significantly impacts their quality of life. It's in patients that are well selected, their disease might merit a heart transplantation. And then in some that are either too ill to wait for a heart transplant, or for medical reasons or social reasons, might not be a candidate for heart transplantation, mm-hmm. we now have the ability to place a surgically implanted pump into the left side of the heart. We call this a left ventricular assist device.
Is this the LVAD?
This is an LVAD, that's right. And this is actually sewn into the heart, and it diverts blood flow away from the failing left side of the heart and actually will provide blood flow to the body and to the brain, and patients improve their quality of life. They live longer and they feel better.
The average person listening to this will hope, if I should ever have heart failure, that I would catch it much sooner than that. So what should they be looking for?
The first thing is to talk to your doctor. And I think the things that patients should really be focusing on, in my opinion, are making sure their blood pressure is under control. If they have diabetes, it's under control. And doing a lot of those things to manage the medical problems that their primary care doctors would focus on. But if a patient does have heart failure and they're not responding to the therapies their doctors are giving to them, or they're finding themselves continually going into the hospital, these are certainly red flags. Or if a patient is being treated for heart failure and their doctors are actually pulling off of those medications mm-hmm. because the patients are too sick to tolerate, those are certainly some warning signs where we would want patients and their families to seek out an advanced heart failure specialist.
What we're talking about is not something that you can, in essence, catch early.
So it can be managed early,
mm-hmm.
But as far as those symptoms, not necessarily, because there can be some unpredictability about when those symptoms may occur. But it is something that we want to see early in the disease, whether when it does not get too advanced, where these pharmacotherapies, and then we also have some other devices that we haven't talked about, but pacemakers can actually improve cardiac function. In other words, where we have an opportunity to give some of these therapies mm-hmm. and then really keep patients from ever needing an LVAD or a transplant. And I will tell you, as an advanced heart failure specialist, mm-hmm. That's really the job. You know, we're there to offer left ventricular assist devices or heart transplants if our patients need it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really our job to make sure that no stone gets left unturned and that we've offered patients everything that would improve cardiac function, or at least afford our patients the opportunity to improve their symptoms and even improve their heart function over time.
So it sounds as if once a person is discovered to have heart failure, there are numerous options.
Without a doubt. And I would say in the near future, there will be even more. I think one of the buzzwords, at least in medical care, is personalized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, if you look at a lot of the novel pharmacotherapies that are currently being studied, we are now really trying to tailor different medications, different devices to specific heart conditions.
Dr. Grodin, thank you for being with me.
Thank you very much for having me.